It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, I thank you that you're at work in our hearts. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're moving amongst the saints today. Oh, Lord, to have your will. And God, we just say, have your perfect will today, Lord. Father, as we sit in your presence, as we study your word, may our minds be renewed and our souls restored. Father, I thank you that you are bringing us into alignment with your perfect will. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all of the saints that are gathered here today. And I thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord, for our River of Life family who's not here today. Lord, be with them as they travel and those that are upon their sick beds, Lord. I thank you, God, that at the right time, Lord, you bring us all right back together again. But today, God, can you say today? Today, Lord, we just settle into your presence. Lord, we open up our hearts and we say, open up our spiritual eyes to see what you are doing and open up our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today in this place right now. There's no time like right now. Right now, Lord, we yield to the ministry of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen, amen. I'm excited to be here today. I'm thankful for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is resting upon each one of us as we come together today to study God's word and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Now, there is a message outline. Did you get one? All right, you got them. Does anybody need a message outline? There is an outline for you. There is a PowerPoint for you. And we're going to get into the Word of God today. We thank God for His Word. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is a finisher. When he died upon the cross, before he left this world, he said, "It is finished." He finished his work. And when he finished his work, he turned over the authority to his church to continue the work. Yes. Amen? And the scripture says, greater works than him will you do. So the Lord has great works planned for each one of us. Tell your neighbor, God's got great work for you. Amen. We are thankful that he has ordered our steps. He has designed our life. So the good news is anything that's coming against us has to face God. Because God's the author and finisher of our faith. He has designed the plan for our life. So anything that's trying to stop us has to deal with the Lord God Almighty. Because he is sovereign over the universe and he sits in the heavenlies and he looks down at the plans of the enemy and all that pressure coming against us. And you know what he does? He laughs at the enemy. He laughs at them because he knows that their work is fruitless if we will obey God. So tell your neighbor, it's up to you. The Lord said in Ezekiel 18:4, for every living soul belongs to me. And we're going to take a look today at stewarding our soul. Hallelujah. I have no PowerPoint on this monitor. Just thought I'd tell you. I'm watching a slideshow and I'm like, did Jay program a slideshow for my Sunday morning message? Hallelujah. So every living soul belongs to me. All of us belong to God. It's good to know our soul belongs to the Lord. Because He's the only one that can temper us and change that soul, isn't He? Hallelujah. Some of you are shaking your head, yes. 3 John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." You see, the Lord wants us to prosper, but we're going to prosper as our soul prospers. Our soul is the seat of our personality. It's that which you perceive, reflect, you feel, and you desire. The seat of your will and purpose, it is the seat of your appetite. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your life is going to prosper as your soul grows and matures in Christ. It's our mind, our will, and emotions. We are not born in this world with a mature soul. Anybody raise a 2-year-old? Hallelujah. We're not too mature. And you know, even as we grow, there's a tempering that takes place. Every test, every trial we go through is something to cause us to mature in our soul. That's our whole journey in this world. You know, when we are born again by the Spirit of God, our spirit is redeemed. And God is in the process of redeeming our souls. He's working on it. But we have to cooperate with Him. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have to cooperate with what God is doing in our mind, our will, and our emotion. So God dwells in our human spirit, and our spirit mingles with His spirit. We become one. And just as we're dressed in clothes, we're dressed in clothes today, our spirit wears a soul. The spirit and the soul wear the body. You know, we buried Brother Ora this weekend, and he was such a dear saint, such a dear brother. And but that was not Ora in that casket. No, that was just his body. Because God's the keeper of all souls and spirits, and he called Ora home. And you know, it was really a powerful testimony that as Ora was in his last days, he kept reaching out because he would see heavenly visitors. And the angels came. And he said Jesus came and talked to him. And I thought, you know, the word says, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And if it weren't true, I would have told you so. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus Christ came again to Brother Ora, and he took him by the hand, and he crossed over into eternity. Beautiful, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. We'll miss Brother Ora, but we are so thankful that he faithfully crossed over. Amen? Amen. What an amazing man. Yeah. What an amazing man. And that's why the Pykunkas are not here today. Many of us labored all day yesterday to serve the family in many ways. And so we are thankful for them. Pray for Brother Jim, Elder Jim. You know, it was a lot on him just having surgery 2 weeks ago. It was a long Friday, a long Saturday, and this morning he stayed home to rest. And so we lift that family up to the Lord and pray for them this week. So our spirit and our soul wear this body. And our spirit seems to be wrapped in a covering, so that it cannot easily break through. That covering is our soul. It's our self-life. And it's the seat of our will and our purpose and our appetite. Let's take a look at the parable in Luke chapter 12, 18 through 21. And I'm reading this from the Message. And the scripture says, "The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, 'What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest.' Then he said, 'Here is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, Self, you've done well. You've got it made, and now you can retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' And just then, God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it?' All of that work, all of the thoughts of being even greater, who gets it? My theory is his overcoming wife that outlived him got it. In verse 21, the scripture says, Jesus answered, he finished this parable by saying, that is what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. So what are we filling ourselves up with? We live in a society where we can make wealth, we can get jobs, but what are we filling ourselves up with? Is getting rich getting in our way of spending time with God? Is that more important to us than getting into the house of the Lord, gathering with the people of God? Where are our priorities? How are we stewarding our soul? How are we taking care of ourselves? Those are questions from the Lord. Life. Life happens, doesn't it? It sure does throw some curveballs sometimes, doesn't it? It's good to be with people who know how to pray. It's good to be with people that say, oh yes, I can help with that. Yes, I'll be there. I'll help you take care of that. You see, that's what the family of God is all about. That's what I love about River of Life. When there is a need, people will put their needs aside to get into the house of God to help serve and meet a need. You know, you can't plan the time of your death. And so, you can't like put that on your schedule, or as death wasn't on our schedule, but we dropped everything to serve the family. And many people in our congregation did the same thing. So what a beautiful testimony of the power and the presence of God. Even though life happens, we have to take a look at our self-life. Are we stingy? Is it all about us? Or are we willing to extend ourselves? Those are deep questions. God is challenging us this morning. You can work and work for something, and it's not going to profit your soul. Let's take a look at that. In Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27, the scripture says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I often said, what profit is it for me if I minister to hundreds of people, but my own children do not serve God? What profit is that? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will you give in exchange for your mind, your will, your emotions? What will you give? You know, your soul has to be stewarded, because your soul is the pivotal point between the natural life and the spiritual life. And many times we'll make decisions based upon the emotions in our soul rather than on what the Spirit of God is saying to us. I drove a new car this week. I was looking at an Envision. It's a little bit bigger than my Encore. I love the Encore, but it is really small. And if we're traveling too far, you know, they cheated on the seats. It's not that comfortable. You know, it's just like, gets great gas mileage. Well, the reason why is they took everything out of it, right? That's why we get great gas mileage. And I'm not going to buy a car, but I wanted to drive it and see what it was like. The Envision is the next step up, and then the Enclave, and I had an Enclave, and that's way too big for us. And so anyway, I was driving it, and I pulled into my parking spot, and I started getting text messages. I'm like, who in the world is like, are they following me around Elkhart? They know everything I'm doing. But Jess texted me and wanted to know if that was me in the parking spot or if that was somebody else parking in my parking spot. Because I get a little aggravated when I come into the church and there's somebody in my parking spot. I'm like, is your name Pastor Janet? If it is not Pastor Janet, then get out of the parking spot. Just because it's the first one doesn't mean you can have it. She was going to be the bouncer. Get out of here. But I could make an emotional decision about that. You know, the car salesman, I've worked with him before, and he knows that I'm not persuaded easily. You know, he knows that, but he really tried. I had to remind him. We don't make decisions on the fly. You know, we've got to take these things to the Lord in prayer. But an emotional decision could have easily been made, because they make it really easy for you to buy a new car. They just lay it all right out there. But I said no, and I walked on out the door. So hallelujah. So our life consists of, let's go to the next slide. I think it's on there. Yes, life. The Greek word is psuche, and it means your self-life. It's the same word that is used for soul. And intellect, the mind, the part of our intellect that thinks. And then there's the emotions, and that's the part of us that feels. And then there's the will, the part of you that makes decisions. And this is how we're made up as a human being. We have our life, our intellect, our emotions, our will. And so all of that needs to be stewarded. Do you agree? Amen. Amen. Because it can just run away from us. Our time, our talents, our money, everything needs to be stewarded. And we need counsel from above. So the Lord really began impressing on me when many, many years ago to study the soul and get an understanding. I've always enjoyed psychology. I've always enjoyed what makes people tick, you know, personality profiling and all of that. That is something God has put in me, and I am a soul physician. That is what I do. That is why I studied for so many years, was to understand people so I could help them become more like Jesus. And it's not me that does the work. It is God who does the work. But it's absolutely amazing what God does. And I just to share a quick testimony, there is a counselee that I have, that I do a lot of long distance counseling, and so we're on the phone, and this particular person is a lawyer, and she was really struggling with loneliness, just really struggling, and the Lord took us right to the root problem of her childhood when her father walked out on the family and left her. She never felt like she belonged after that, and that she was in this world all alone. Now, and she is a lawyer. She's an attorney that's in the court and is battling. She's sought after because she is a real go-getter. And if she's on your side, you're really glad she's on your side. But in the midst of all of that, her own success with her own law firm, she's feeling so lonely. And so the Lord just began to reveal to her this situation and what she believed as a child. And then God began to show her how within their family, the men walking out on their family happened over and over and over again. And cheating on their wives. It was a generational curse. And she was feeling the effects of this generational curse that had been passed down in her family line. And so we prayed. We prayed as we went. We broke the curses that God told us to break. And we prayed, and she received a beautiful vision from the Lord. And so, you know, you don't know what really happened till you begin to walk life again and live life. You know, prayer is wonderful. Inner healing is absolutely marvelous. But it's even more wonderful to find out the effects from that. Well, that was like 2 weeks ago. And when we had our phone counseling session 2 weeks later, she said, she was just talking away, you know, some things happened in her life. And she said, and she's going on and on about, well, I don't even feel lonely. I'm not struggling with this. You know, he can just walk out on me. I'm okay with that. And she's like, wait a minute. I am not lonely or feeling abandoned at all. She goes, Dr. Janet, it's only been 2 weeks. How did that happen? And I said, that is the living power of the presence of God to heal our soul and make us whole so that we can fulfill our destiny and what God has called us to do. And isn't that powerful? Ooh. So I get excited when God begins to work in the depths. It is a painful process. It was a painful process for her. But she was willing to let God dig down in there. And as God cleans us out, oh my, it's joy, unspeakable joy. You can't even begin, can you, Terry? No, you can't even begin to express in words what God gives to us as He restores our soul. See, the soul is so valuable. That is why the devil is after your soul. Every time you turn around, he baits a trap for you. He sets a trap to try and pull you in. To steal your soul. You see, he can't touch the redeemed spirit of God on the inside of you, but he can really mess with your soul. And so we want to be wise. The scripture says, be wise to the devices of the devil. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says, I love Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. To have your soul restored is for it to come back to health and to strength. It's to give back something that was lost. This is what the Good Shepherd does for us. This is why I love working with Jesus. As He restores people's lives, I love working with Him. Let's take a look. We're not going to go too much further into this, but we do want to take a look at Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place of pressing. It means press, and semein means anointing, fruitful, richness, oil, ointment. It's a place of pressure. When we get under pressure, we find out what is on the inside of us. If you press some grapes, you're going to get grape juice. Hallelujah. You press some tomatoes, you're going to get tomato juice. That makes me start thinking of spring and gardens and oh boy. But there's a pressing that comes to our soul. And when that press comes, we find out what's really inside of us. Amen. Let's read. Jesus went through this, so don't think we get to skip it, right? And have you ever noticed, you go through Gethsemane many times in your lifetime. Is that right? You've been through it a few times where that pressure comes. Jesus said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. When his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord was under great duress, knowing what he was going to go through in his natural body. The suffering, the pain, the agony, the mocking. He knew what was to come. And in that place of prayer, you see, it was in that place of prayer that he prepared himself for the crucifixion. Your soul needs prayer. We've got to get in a place of prayer. Every day. Don't skip a day. You know, the scripture says to pray without ceasing. So the Lord's always on our mind, regardless of what's coming up. We've got a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of hope, prayer of praise. You know, throughout the whole day, a prayer of thanksgiving, we can have a continual praise and prayer going on to the Lord. The scripture says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Well, what goes on in temples? Praise, prayer, worship, constantly going on in temples. That's what we're supposed to be like. That's stewarding our soul when we can control our mind and get it into focus. I know some folks have ADHD and they're here and then they're there and then they're over here and they have to work harder at getting their mind, but they can do it, hallelujah, focused in the right direction. But Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." So Gethsemane is a place of pressing and breaking your will. It's a place of surrender so that the anointing can flow through you. Several years ago, I had written this down, and I'm just going to read it to you. I had a vision, and I saw Christians walking around with a hard outer layer that surrounded each one of them. And when they would get close to each other, their hard layers would bump up against each other and sparks were flying, and they were responding to the contact in several different ways. Now, did you know Christianity is a contact sport? When you get in the family of God and you start working together, you know there are some sparks that can fly, hallelujah, because of our own souls, right? And this is what I was seeing going on. I knew it was not a part of our spiritual armor by the way people were responding to each other. And I asked the Lord what it was. And he said the hard layer that surrounded them was their self-will and self-independence in their soul. It was shoving people aside and demanding its own way. It reminded me of the behavior of a small child that still thinks the whole world rotates around their desires and the sun rises and sets for only them. Because they don't know any different. When they cry, when they need something, we all run, right? Although there was a hard shell on the outside of these people that was demanding and selfish, on the inside I could see a treasure. And it was like a precious gold treasure hidden by this hard shell of self. And I heard the Lord say, if my people will lose their self-life, the hard shell that surrounds them will begin to break, and the treasures that I have placed in earthen vessels will begin to flow out of them. So the question is not whether there is life within, but whether the outside shell is cracked so that the Spirit of God, the treasure of God, the power of God can flow out of us. Hallelujah. Do you get that picture? So you see, when we go through our Gethsemanes, it's the place of pressing and breaking our will, that place of surrender, so that the anointing and the gifts of God that are in you, they're already in you. Tell somebody, they're already in you. They're already in us. God wants us to yield to Him and let Him flow through us. And that sounds easy, but how many of you know it's not? Did you ever raise a strong-willed child? Or maybe you were a strong-willed child. But God will keep putting you in that place of Gethsemane to crush you, to break you, to mold you, to change you. So a lot of times we bring it on ourselves because we won't yield and surrender to the living God. We know what's right. Everybody sitting here knows. God makes sure you know. You're in the know. He will talk to you about what needs to go. And He's not asking you to change all at once. And that was interesting because my consolee said, wow, you know what? I have felt so different. I'm not even sure how I should respond sometimes because that loneliness and abandonment was gone. And I said, and she said, but there's so much more I need to let God do in my life. And I said, yeah, that's why God takes care of one thing. Because you need to adjust, because you don't even know how to live without that thing. That thing has been making your decisions your whole life because it was running in your subconscious mind. And what is running in your subconscious mind is what you make decisions based on. And so when God begins to reveal to you what is going on in your system of beliefs, in your subconscious mind, pay attention. Tell your neighbor, pay attention. Amen. Because God will bring that forward to you. It might be a memory. It might be a thought. It might be a feeling. And science shows that that is only going to be with you about 3 days. And if you don't deal with that, then it goes back into your subconscious. You keep living your life based upon the lie that you believed when you were abused. Are you experienced trauma or disappointment? It's important to respond to God. It's what I'm saying. Because He will let you know. But we really, most of the time, don't want to look at it. Is that true? That's true for me. I'll push it aside. But I've learned better. I've learned. Because, you know, if we'll just yield to what God is doing in our life, He brings forth miraculous change. And when we change, the people around us will begin to change. And if they don't, then God will give you counsel on what you should do. He's not ever telling us to stay in abusive situations. Where you're going to be hurt. There are steps we can always take. We just have to get with God to find out what they are. And sometimes to take that step is very painful. Because you've never known anything else. And so it's like the unknown. What's going to happen? You start going into the what ifs. Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, I don't know. Well, God knows. God knows. And if you receive confirmation that you've got to change, you've got to move, then you've got to do it. Or stay in your misery. God will let you stay in your misery. He'll let us. That's not what He wants for us. It's the denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him. And we're going to end with this verse right here in Luke. Luke admonished us that in patience means endurance, consistency, continuous waiting. In patience, possess. Possess is to keep control over, to maintain. Ye your soul. And your soul is your self-life, your mind, your will, your emotions, how you live every day. In patience, we are to possess that, to be constant, to be continuing. You know, it is a continuing journey, because when the journey ends, you die. Right? Aren't you glad God's still working on you? And it's interesting because if you've spent any time with people on their deathbed, you know, often family members will say, why are they going through this? I don't understand. They live such a good life. Well, I believe God is still working some things in their soul. And I believe there's a labor to die. You know, people don't die easily. Usually, it's a real struggle unless you're hit by a car and you die instantly. You watch people labor. And Mom Hammond taught us that our first birth is a natural birth. And our mother labors in pain to bring us into this world. When we come into this world, the world is like a womb. We're just going to pass through this world, right? And so when we're in this world, we come in a natural man. First the natural, then the spiritual. That's a spiritual concept. Then our spirit man is worked on and grows and matures just like the natural man was growing and maturing in the mother's womb. We come into this next realm. And then when we pass out of this world, it's like a birthing into eternity where we will stay forever. So it's that transition birthing forth, and you see people upon their deathbed laboring as they're going through that transition. But knowing the Lord is with them. He's right there. Just like the Lord was with your mom when she birthed you, thank God. We made it, right? And the Lord is with that person. And when you come into this world, you know, you take a breath, you're a living soul. You are a living soul. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Praise God. So I hope this gives you an understanding of the soul. And next week, we're going to talk about some principles of learning to possess your soul. And there's too much to go into it today to even begin. So we will pick that up next week as we journey through, I called it a soul series. And this one is stewarding your soul. This next one is going to be possessing your soul. Because people need soul care. Hey, that's where we get beat up, isn't it? That is where we get beat up and battered. And God wants to heal our souls and make us whole. Hallelujah.